Intelligent design and DNA. The scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real.
Welcome to the brightest audience in the country. I'm Fred Williams, host of Real Science Radio. Before we get started with today's show, just a reminder that Brian Lauer, who's a great friend of RSR, will be speaking on the hydroplate theory next weekend, May 5th through 7th, in Hastings, Nebraska, at the Central States Creation Conference. Their website is www.centralstatecreationconference.com. Speaking of conferences, another important event is coming up next Friday in Denver, and that's the Fearless Foundation Youth Conference sponsored by Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship. The speaker is Carl Kirby, who brings a special energy and enthusiasm in presenting the creation message. Several of the youth who have helped organize this conference have joined me in the studio. They are our next generation of creation speakers. We have Ryan Williams, Miranda Bracken, and Simon Chamblin. Let me first introduce Ryan, who many in the audience already know from our shows doing the latest Creation Magazine.
Yeah, it's great to be back on the show again, getting to talk about the conference that we got here in just a week, so it should be a good one.
Thank you very much, Ryan. So next, we have Miranda Bracken. She's also the camera person at the Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship meetings, plus she does the occasional creation skit before the opening of the meeting. That's always awesome. So welcome to the show, Miranda.
Hey, great to be here. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to get to talk to you today about the conference and the creation stuff, everything you're going to be talking about today.
Well, thanks, Miranda. You've been certainly very instrumental in that conference. And then finally, we have Simon. Now, Simon Chamblin, you've been a big help on the Real Science Radio Planning Committee. We meet each week, and you've come up with some really good ideas. Welcome to the show, Simon.
Thanks, Fred. It's my first time on the show, and I have been affiliated with the RSR for a long time, so thank you for the opportunity to speak.
You're welcome. You're very much welcome. So, Miranda, I'm actually going to come back to you. I want to start with your role in the youth conference. In fact, you put together what I thought was a really impressive video. This is at the ICR conference this last week. You put together a video that was playing from the book table that we had for RMCF. That was impressive, very well done, and no one else had anything like that. I mean, I think we kind of knocked it out of the park with the best book table at that conference. So anyways, I thought you had a message that really gets to the core of the problem facing our youth in that video.
Yeah, so we had this video, and I guess it was just last year, I had been creating another video for RMCF and its booth at the Czech conference. And during this time, I was looking up some statistics. It was really sobering, really, seeing how many kids and young adults leave the church at around the age of 16 to 18 because they simply don't have a foundation in the scripture. They simply don't have the foundation in Genesis where they can see that creation science is really, you know, what the truth is. And because they've been taught evolution, that pulls the foundation out from underneath the gospel. And then, well, we have 88% of children leaving the church and never returning.
Yeah, the stats are pretty sobering on that, and that's why we think this conference is so important. Some time ago, there was a book that Answers in Genesis put out called Already Gone, and the stats there, you've already mentioned some of them. I mean, they're pretty sobering. At what age did you begin to really question the Bible? That's one of the questions, and almost 75% said during middle school and high school. So by the time kids are getting to college, they're already indoctrinated with evolution, and Ryan will speak to that a little bit later here on his experiences in college. And it's not just the public schools are bad, but it turns out even Sunday schools, they're not teaching creation. And so if you go to Sunday school, you're just as likely, for example, to believe that God used evolution. You're just as likely to believe that if you hadn't even gone to Sunday school. So Miranda, your presentation was awesome. And we'll get back to you a little bit later. We'll ask a few more questions, but thanks again. And the foundation is so critical, right? The foundation of the Bible. It's so critical to the truth. Simon, I want to talk to you about your help that you've done with Real Science Radio. We meet weekly. We like to plan ahead. We come up with ideas for shows. Go ahead and tell me a little bit about your role on that team.
Well, I've been listening to RSR for the past year, and it really started me giving input about a year ago when Bob did his list of things, real things that are not physical.
That's right. And you came up with another list, or you added to his list, right?
Yeah, you can see that at kgov.com/Simon. You can see that in the show summary. But I have been giving out ideas, and I've suggested some shows.
Yeah, so we did one of the shows you suggested. We like, you know, having this youth influence, which is really good for that planning committee. In fact, we have several young people on there. You're the youngest, I believe. How old are you?
I am 14.
14, all right. And you've already given some presentations, brief presentations, 5 minutes to start some of our RMCF meetings. So you're one of our future bright stars and, you know, being a creation scientist. So we really do appreciate that. The show you recommended was the one that, and it was new to me. I didn't realize this. I'm an engineer. I've been an engineer for, I don't know, a long time. I mean, almost 40 years. And it was the one on cosmic rays and how cosmic rays actually cause harm to computers. In my role at my job, I actually do the software that helps mitigate problems when a part's starting to deteriorate. But I didn't know about the cosmic ray aspect. And so that was really cool. You can listen to that show at rsr.org/cosmic-rays. So, Simon, thank you very much. That was a great suggestion, and we all thought, okay, this is going to be a perfect show, and Daniel and I did that one not too long ago, I think about a month ago. So
yeah, we all got to learn about bit flips and the universe hostile to computers.
That's right, and it even caused somebody in France to win an election by 4096. Now, I'm looking over at Ryan, because he's an engineer, and I guarantee you he knows 4096 actually means something. It's a number. It's 4K exactly. It's one bit in a hexadecimal number, so that bit got flipped and incremented or decremented. In this case, incremented their votes by 4096, which was enough to allow them to win the election.
Which was mathematically impossible.
It was. This particular person could not have won by that many votes. It was a super interesting show. It's not quite the same as how Joe Biden won. There's a lot more at stake at work there. So anyways, thank you, Simon. I'm going to ask Ryan now about his experience in college. I know we've talked about it one time before on the show, but it's always interesting to hear when you showed up to CSU, Colorado State University. You graduated about, what has it been, 3 years?
Yeah, for a sec there, I thought you were going to ask me about mail-in voting, but this would be a little bit better. So it's been about nearly 3 years, which I hadn't really thought about, actually. That's kind of crazy it's been that long. But graduated from there in 2019 in May, and I've been working in engineering ever since.
Yep, and we currently work together at Micron. It's awesome. So, Ryan, when you first got to CSU, you had gone to Cornerstone Christian Academy, and you had your dad and RSR's, years of learning the creation message, and the age of the earth isn't really billions of years like your dad thought for 30 years, because I didn't have the advantage of going to a school where you could actually learn the truth about Scripture. So then you go off to college, and I remember you telling me it was eye-opening. You didn't think there'd be that many people who had never heard of creation. They just took evolution as true for granted.
Yeah, I remember that was really striking. I was really fortunate to have all the resources I had growing up to where I had a really strong foundation going into college, but I'd talk to people and they would be surprised that I didn't believe in evolution. They'd be like, whoa, you don't believe in evolution? As if it was me saying I thought the moon landing was faked or something. It was just something that a lot of these kids didn't even know that people didn't believe in. So that was striking to me that they were surprised. And then just especially the outdated stuff that they think about, that they bring in as evidence, and even the outdated stuff that the curriculum in what we would call quote-unquote higher learning, how outdated some of this curriculum is. I remember hearing refutations to some of the things they bring up, like, for example, random vestigial structures around in animals. And I remember
hearing, long been disproven.
Yeah, I remember refutations to those that I'd heard in early high school. And in higher learning, they're still teaching these things in biology class. And it was, that was also pretty surprising.
Yep. So, and Ryan, before the show, while we were prepping, I reminded you of something that you had forgotten about. So you sent me the guide to put together a paper. And on this thing, it told you what sources were authoritative and what sources were not authoritative. Do you remember that?
You know, I didn't until you brought it up on the drive up here. And you reminded me, and I'm like, wow, I somehow completely forgot about that. I guess there were enough other instances that stuck in my memory more. But yeah, they got this, you know, we're writing a paper, so they have, the, you know, the, I guess, syllabus and the guidance for how to write the paper. But part of it is talking about what sources are authoritative and which ones aren't. So in their examples of authoritative, they have New York Times, Washington Post, and then to cap it off, Al Jazeera, of all ones.
Yeah, that was authoritative. And, yeah. You're allowed to use Al Jazeera, the news network, and they really promote Islam. And they don't do a lot of criticizing when there's a terrorist incident either, do they?
No, they, you know, I guess they dismiss it. I don't know.
And their sources that are not authoritative, they listed Fox News and Russia Today. I'm surprised they didn't put Real Science Radio on there. The critical thinking that's going on at our schools, it's so bad. And that's why this conference is so important. It's coming up. I want to ask all of you. Recently, I saw, it was either on Facebook or who knows what, the case is closed. 99.9% of scientists agree that the climate change is happening, that there's a climate emergency, and it's caused by humans. 99.9%. So do you believe that number?
Well, nope. Do you know where that number comes from?
Do I know where it comes from? I do, actually.
Okay.
It comes from them citing scientific papers.
Well, do you know the scientific papers' origin?
Yeah.
It was a 15-year-old kid in high school who wrote a scientific paper about how the percentage of scientists that believe in climate change, because it's not actually getting hotter.
Yeah.
But yeah, some kid wrote it, and his sample size was like egregiously small. I wish I could remember the exact number, but the sample size was egregious. Like, we're talking, I think even less than 100 potentially.
Yeah.
And you're getting,
and it's even
99%
worse
of scientists by
yes. So we know that as Christians, Bible believing Christians, we're well inoculated to these kind of things. I wanted to get your comment. Miranda, what do you think of this? I see you ready, chomping at the bit to answer this one.
I have a major problem with the entire idea that we're all going to die because the temperature over the whole world raised by half of a degree Celsius. It's a ridiculous notion. And you know what it reminds me of? There was this radio show back in the 1920s, I think it was. And it was this guy who was doing an audio drama based on this book about aliens.
And I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
Orson Welles.
Yes, that was the one. And people would tune in the middle of it and think that it was real.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. It was only because they were believing immediately what they heard that second and then moving right along with their lives as if that suddenly became truth because they heard it once.
Yep.
And that's what climate change makes me think of, you know? And that's the same thing with evolution, too, is people are just pounded with this message. And because they hear it so often, they think that that's true, but it's not.
Yeah. And you know what's scary about it is the same article, this was in The Guardian, their sub-headline for this was, "Trawl of 90,000 studies finds consensus leading to call for Facebook and Twitter to curb disinformation." That's amazing, you know, that they're using this big lie to try to get Facebook and Twitter and other media outlets to do this censoring. I mean, what's next? Eventually it's going to be, 99%, which is a lie. They'd say 99% of scientists agree the Bible's wrong, so you can't have anything on the internet about the Bible. We're going to censor that. I mean, even now, if you do a Google search on evidence against climate change, you have to go to like the third or fourth page. So I think at some point we're going to just have to have another search engine for Bible-believing Christians. In fact, you can go to rsr.org/search. Bob put together a great search engine on our website to be able to search and find topics on the Bible, creation, and it works really well. So that's a great suggestion by our producer. So Simon, what's your take on whenever you hear somebody say, 99% of scientists say this is true, say that evolution is true or climate change is true? What do you think of when you hear that?
Well, I've been really upset with climate change lately. Google did a doodle, a little art thing when you go to google.com about climate change. They showed a picture of 2000, it was like all snowy. In 2020, the same date, it was warm. And I was so mad because in 2021, we had a very warm winter and we had a very hot summer.
That's a good point.
And it was so upsetting for me because one day you'll have record lows 1 year, and then the next year you'll have record highs. So it's really upsetting. And I think if I had billions, I would love to go melt Antarctica and melt all of the ice in the Arctic Circle, which wouldn't actually happen, but I'd love to go melt it all, and I guarantee you there won't be a worldwide flood again, because every time we look at a rainbow, we see God's promise that there will never be one again.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, Sports Illustrated had a picture of the Miami football stadium underwater. That was one of, Al Gore's predictions. That was in Sports Illustrated. They were pushing that nonsense. And that was supposed to happen, well, at least 10 years ago. So Ryan's an NFL football fan. Ryan, is the Miami Stadium underwater right now? He's shaking his head no. We had a scientist come to our Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship meeting. He's from the Air Force Academy. He's their meteorologist. And he gave a great talk on climate change. And you can go watch that video. I highly recommend it. It's on the youngearth.org website. And just go to the video archives and go back about, I don't know, maybe about 7-8 months ago, but you'll find it. Just do a search for climate change. That talk was fantastic. If you really want to learn the truth about climate change, I recommend going there.
You know, if you tell a lie enough times, it, well, eventually becomes true. Not actually, but people could believe it. And that's what happened with evolution. Evolution, Darwin's theory has been around for the past 200 years. And there's this interesting psychological trick you can play with your siblings. Say you were at a park a while back, and say you had a red balloon, but your brother or sister had a green balloon. And you, every time it gets brought up, you say, "No, you had a red balloon, I had a green balloon." If you keep saying that enough times, eventually they'll believe it, and they will even correct you, "No, I had the red balloon, you had the green balloon." And then it will get to this big mess up, and then they'll never know who had the right balloon. So it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, you can condition people's minds. I know that. I'll just tell a quick story really quick. My daughter, she came up to me, and she would play this weird noise, and I didn't know what it was, and then she'd hand me a banana. And then a couple days would go by, and she'd do the same thing. I'd hear this weird noise, and I don't remember what the noise was, and then she'd hand me a banana. And then third day happens, she does it again. Well, anyways, so now it's probably a week, maybe 2 weeks later, and I don't know I'm being filmed. So I think Ryan, I'm looking over him, he's got that little grin on his face. He's filming this thing, and I don't know it, and she comes up to me and plays that noise. And I'm like, "Where's my banana?" I had no idea they were playing the trick on me. But they had conditioned me to want that banana because of that dumb noise I was hearing. So she actually filmed it and played it for her class. So anyways, I've been brainwashed, and that was a classic example. I was brainwashed for 30 years because I believed in millions of years and some of evolution. But anyways, I want to talk about another report from BBC. And then maybe we'll get both Simon and Ryan to comment on this. And Miranda, you as well. So how liars create the illusion of truth. So there's a law of propaganda. It's often attributed to Nazi Joseph Goebbels. Repeat a lie often enough and it becomes the truth. And that's what people are doing. And it's funny, the BBC is reporting this, but they don't realize they do the same thing. So this whole thing about climate change, this more recent one, it's actually more recent than the one that Ryan mentioned, is what they do is they're looking at scientific studies that are only allowed to be done by people who believe in global warming. So, of course, they're going to be 99%. It's just like saying, we're going to look at the scientific journals of nature and science to see how many support evolution. They're going to be 99.9%, 100%. You know, it's like, to me, it's like taking a poll in San Francisco and asking them, "So, do you think gay marriage should be allowed?" And 99, probably about 98, well, no, it'll be 98.3%. You know, they always have to have an exact number to make it sound like it's credible. So
but
it'll
it's
be 98.
Not an exact number.
Yeah. It'll be 98.3%. And they'll say that means all people support gay marriage. They'll say, "Oh, that we took a poll, 98.3% of people support gay marriage." But they don't tell you that, "Oh, by the way, we took the poll in the downtown San Francisco." Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of
knowledge.
Absolutely. So I want to ask a few questions. So, Simon, do you have a favorite go-to argument for creation?
My first is everything, like every particle in the universe, electrons orbiting in the atom, everything. Like when you go down as small as the atom, the electrons orbit so perfectly, you can't find any defect because it's so small. And then there's trillions of them running all at the same time in far off places that you don't know about. Like I think in Job it mentions God watering a place where no man lives, a desolate wasteland. There's so much that you haven't explored yet, and I just think everything is proof. Also, the second one is the three D's.
There
dinosaurs,
you go.
Diamonds, and DNA.
All right. Yeah, the last conference that Bob and I did before he passed was that was our theme, the big three. So, yeah, diamonds, dinosaurs, and DNA. You can always formulate an argument around any of those three and come up with a great argument for creation. And your first one I love because that's very biblical. That's the one God uses himself to argue for creation. He says that his invisible attributes are clearly seen so that people are without excuse who deny the obvious intelligent design of creation. That's from Romans. So excellent, Simon. And that's a really good way to put it, too. I like that with the electrons. Everything is so finely tuned also. Excellent.
What I love about DNA is that one strand of DNA, it's like 6 feet long. It's so small and crumbled up inside your body, actually folded nicely, mm-hmm. to fit inside your cell. And it has all this information, which is crucial. And if you put all your DNA together and wrap it around the earth, it would circle the earth 3 times.
Yeah.
So that much DNA could fit in your body, but also a 6-foot strand could fit in a cell, and you have billions of cells in your body.
Excellent point. In fact, you can take a gram of DNA, a gram's not a lot, a single gram of DNA, according to Microsoft, this isn't according to Real Science Radio, would hold the entire content of the internet in it. Actually, RSR disagrees. We think it would hold the entire content of the internet times 5,000. So there you go. That's our new prediction. They'll find that it holds even more than Microsoft said. Okay, well, Simon, thank you for that. So Ryan, I'm wondering, have you considered what you might do in the future regarding the creation movement? Now, is there any influence from your dad in that area or not?
You know, what could be popping to mind? I just can't. Oh, there's this show he does sometimes. I think that maybe I could be an heir apparent to that potentially. So, but to be honest, that has crossed my mind. That's something I think, you know, it'd be an honor to be able to take it over someday and hopefully continue the legacy, you know, as well as you and Bob did, and then as well as you've been doing. That'd be great to be able to take that up. And then otherwise, you know, planning conferences like this, it's been really enjoyable. You know, it's been fun. We'll, like, you know, laugh, have some jokes, have a good time. But also, you know, doing important stuff like this is, you know, it's enjoyable, and it's something I want to keep doing.
Well, you have been slated by Bob and I, you and Dom, to be the heir apparents to Real Science Radio. We're looking forward to some point. You know, it's really going to be critical, I think. I'm looking at my producer. When we go to video, which we plan on doing in the summer, that's where it's really going to help to have you to helping with the show.
Well, you know, you say you got a great face for radio, but I've heard I got a great face for video. So, perfect.
There you go. So, very much looking forward to that, and you help with the Creation Magazine, which is always great. Really appreciate that. So, in fact, we're going to do one probably next week. You may not have known that.
I didn't. Now I do.
But according to the RSR Planning Committee, now I'm looking at Simon, we decided we're due to do a Creation Magazine show. We have the latest Creation Magazine that's been out, I think, for at least a month. That's why we want to get to it, and there's a lot of great material in there. Very much looking forward to that. Well, thanks, Ryan. So, Miranda, I want to ask you the same question. What are you considering in your future as far as it pertains to creation science, biblical apologetics? Have you thought about it?
Yeah, actually, I have a huge passion for film and video, and I also love doing things like this where I'm speaking to normal people in their everyday lives, just going about doing their thing. And honestly, this is why I'm super excited about the youth conference, is because we're going to be meeting kids, youth, right where they are with their beliefs, possibly that evolution is true, and then saying, well, hey, you know what? Here's actually the truth. Compare the two and see that creation is so much stronger. And I think that that's a lot of what I'm going to be doing in the future, is making videos and, you know, making speeches, making productions on the radio of reasons why creation is true and why it's a superior argument to evolution, meeting the people, the laymen, right where they are.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you're what? How old are you?
Miranda? I'm 17.
17 years old. So another bright star coming up in the creation movement. Again, you put together an excellent video, so I know your production capabilities are already just off the charts. And you know, and speaking of your video, I think I'm going to link to it. I'm going to upload it to the RSR page for this radio show. How about that?
I am honored.
So this conference, it's so important too, to get people just to think critically and just make an informed decision. That's what I want to do when I talk to somebody who doesn't know about creation. I try to get them to realize there's two sides, and you need, in order to make an informed decision, you have to look at both sides of the evidence. And the problem is, kids aren't hearing the other side. They're just not. I mean, Ryan is a testimony to that with when he goes to college, and nobody, except for maybe one person with Ryan, actually of his circle of friends, and he probably had, you know, he had quite a few, only one had actually heard of creation and kind of believed it. But,
and you know, what really concerns me is that I have a lot of Christian friends who are allegedly strong Christians, but the second I start talking to them about, hey, you know what? There's this whole, you know, new evidence for creation, or isn't it so cool that God created the world? And all of a sudden they just shut down and they say, wait, but isn't evolution true? So even some of my close friends,
yes,
who are Christians, who believe in the gospel, don't have the foundation. And those are the kinds of kids who are at risk of losing their faith, because if there is not a foundation for the gospel, then the gospel's going to sink.
Yeah. Because if they have a skepticism about how the world, you know, if the world's billions of years old, one of the things out of that book is intellectual skepticism was the number one reason kids gave for leaving the faith. Mm-hmm. So it really does matter. If you attack somebody's foundation in a belief, if that foundation falls, then, you know, the whole Bible falls. The crucifixion makes no sense without that foundation. So
if there was death before sin, then what's the point of taking sin?
Exactly. Great point. And so I thank you for, you know, witnessing to your friends, because we have to witness to a lot of Christians. I know, Ryan, you've experienced that. I'm sure, Simon, if you haven't, you're going to. He's saying, yes, he has. And we'll have him speak on that here maybe in a moment. But yeah, it's important to even just witness to Christians, because so many Christians are surprised to hear this. I know that my daughter Abby's at CSU, and she has to deal with this quite a bit. And a lot of her so-called Christian friends, and I think many of them actually have a believing faith, there's a fair number of them that like support abortion. I don't think they're going to have an easy leap to that kind of belief if they have a strong foundation in the Bible. And so many of these kids just don't. So Simon, you were kind of nodding your head that you've had friends that are in the same boat. So are they Christian believers like yourself, or are any of them non-believers that you've dealt with?
Well, there's three people I've talked to. First of all, my neighbor, I've talked to him about Christianity in general, and he said, oh, I can't believe it. And then he comes and he says, hey, they taught us this lie in school. We evolved from monkeys, but they're still monkeys.
Yep.
And that's what I saw in a video. And then there's this other friend who's actually very open and accepting to all of it. And he's like, hey, wouldn't it be cool if we actually found some proof of the Bible? And I said, yeah, I believe we have. And I recommended him to listen to RSR, and I'll send him this show.
There you go.
And then there's the other friend who I believe I did get him saved, but then he's been doubting lately and saying, hey, I'll accept wherever I go. I don't really believe Christianity.
Yep. So you got to just keep working on that friend. Get him to, you know, be able to think critically and weigh both sides. But if you keep inundating him with truth and real science, we'll pray that he comes around. So I really thank you for doing that, Simon. That's awesome.
Yeah, and my friend that's very open, I'm very glad for him, because he's not shutting me off, and he's like,
yeah,
I agree with you, or what about this, you know?
Yeah. So Simon, you've actually got a real scientific mind. What is your plans for the future as it pertains to creation?
So my plan is to do some more short RMCF talks and to do more work on RSR, to help
out. Do you have
a
long-term goal, though? Like, are you thinking my college, PhD in astrophysics? I mean, what's in store for Simon?
My long-term goal would probably be to boost my YouTube channel and talk about creation on there, and also write a book.
Okay, that'd be great. Yep. Okay, so I want to ask Ryan, I don't know if I've ever asked you this before. Do you have a favorite go-to argument for creation?
Yeah, I've got a couple that I really like. As Simon alluded to earlier, DNA is one of the most spectacular things in the universe.
It's a great argument.
And especially as an engineer, just the idea of coding that really, when boiled down simply, it's basically what DNA does. It codes for, you know, different proteins, different traits. And being an engineer, it really just is a huge evidence for the fact that there has to be a creator, because if you got a line of code and you accidentally fat finger your keyboard and hit a different one, all of a sudden hopefully it just won't work right away. But then there's a chance you could have a major bug in there that you don't even see for months that ends up causing a major issue. So just the idea of DNA and how much of it there is, for that to happen randomly, to come about through mutations, it's just completely unreasonable, to be honest. I also like, especially when talking to people who haven't heard, just bringing up the discovery of DNA in soft tissue from fossilized dinosaurs. They're finding soft tissue in more and more fossilized animals. Like, I think there was a turtle that has some, and that stuff can't last millions of years. That stuff can barely last, 10,000. So I think that's a big one. And
that's a great one, because, and people like to talk about dinosaurs. I remember that very one. There's a guy at work. I'm going to go ahead and say his name, Abaddon. So I mentioned the soft tissue years ago at McData when it first happened. And I'm like, this isn't some quacky far right wing show mentioning this. This is mainstream science. And I even mentioned it's like the Discover magazine. And I showed him the website, and I'm not kidding. He was looking at that page, and I had left, and I came back to the lab, and he was still reading through it. He was shocked. Now, I don't know what kind of impact it's left, but you hope it just plants seeds. But dinosaurs is a great one. It's one of the most powerful ones right now, because that was just an incredible discovery. So,
oh, yeah. And there's one more. I know we got to close out here. There's one more I've liked to go to recently, and it's maybe bringing up a couple of those and asking them, why do you believe in evolution? Why do you believe so strongly that the world is millions of years old? And most of the time you can count on them having nothing. And it gets them thinking. It's like, wow, I really don't know why I believe in this apart from just being told it was true by random people for my whole life. So that's another way to get them thinking from a different angle, being like, wow, I really don't have anything here. I don't have two legs to stand on.
Good one, Ryan. That's a really good way to approach it. So ask them, why do you believe in evolution?
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, most people will just kind of be kind of dumbfounded. They'll have that blank stare, and then you've got them. Mm-hmm. You got
them.
Then
they kind of know. That's a lot for them.
So, Ryan, we're about out of time. I'm going to ask each of you, so any final thoughts for how to get people to the conference, or any thoughts to yourself on this upcoming conference? Fearless Foundation Youth Conference, FFYCDenver.com. Any thoughts on this conference?
You'll just say, if you're listening, we'd love to see you there. Check out the website. And if you are listening and want to go and have a couple friends you think would also like to go, then go ahead and invite them, and we'd love to see y'all there.
Yep, and you can go to the website and get all the information. You can sign up there. A lunch will be provided at no cost to you. The cost of the conference is $15, and that will probably not cover the cost of our fantastic speakers. So this is being subsidized by people who are donating money to help this conference happen. So, Miranda, any final thoughts? And thank you again for coming on the show. Looking forward to many more videos and productions and speaking engagements. I think you're going to do great.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I guess the main thing I would have about this conference is that it's going to be a serious blast. And honestly, Carl Kirby is one of the best speakers I have ever heard. He's engaging, he's fun, he knows how to connect with people my age, and I'm part of the age group that we're trying to target. So please show up, and you're going to get so much good information. even if you're a Christian, even if you believe completely in creation, it'll be a great building up experience.
So what kind of activities do you have planned for other than the, you know, listening to the speaker, who is fantastic? He will keep the kids interested. You wouldn't think a speaker would, but this guy will, trust me. But you have other activities, right? Like chess?
No, but we do have some other activities. We're going to have an amazing tabletop escape room, which one of our steering committee members put together. It's insanely impressive what she did. And we're going to have a bunch of different teams sitting at different tables and cracking clues that have to do with creation. It's going to be really cool. We're going to have organized games and snacks, of course, because everyone needs the snacks. And there's going to be a lot of time to just talk with each other and talk to scientists who know what they're talking about.
Yeah, great. Simon, any final thoughts for the conference? And thanks again also for being on the show. And Simon, thanks for the help for providing that youth perspective. It's kind of neat the dynamic we have in our planning team, from everybody from, you know, your age through, you know, early college and then on up to codger. That would be me. So I really appreciate the input you provide, because we need that younger influence. And I know you actually help with uploading the show to some kind of podcast.
Yeah, I've been putting up old shows on SoundCloud.
Now, I caught some grief from my son on one of the shows for not really exactly knowing what a podcast is, but I plead, you know, codger status on that.
One thing I'm looking forward to at the youth conference is the fellowship. I remember for years before I really got interested in science, I was always interested, but I just kind of pretended to be an introvert, and I'm not an introvert, so I didn't talk to people and I didn't have fun. But I've been on the edge of my seat at many talks, and I think this one will be very exciting. I hope to see you there listening. I hope to see you at the conference, and I hope to meet you, and I hope you leave with some useful knowledge and you meet some pretty cool people.
Well, thanks for that. Yep, definitely. You got to make it out to this conference. It's going to be fantastic.
I'll be there.
Simon will be there. Ryan will be there. Miranda will be there. I'll be there. And, you know, there'll be hopefully lots of people there. It'll be a really fun time. Please make it out to this conference. Again, the website is ffycdenver.com. And if you're a Rocky Mountain Christian Fellowship member, you'll see it on their website too, which is youngearth.org. You can get the details there. The conference is in Aurora, but it's conveniently located. It's right off of I-70 near Airport Boulevard. So we found that it was a pretty decent location of the places that we considered. So again, please make it out to this conference. It's going to be fantastic. So for Ryan Williams, Miranda Bracken, and Simon Chamblin, this is Fred Williams of Real Science Radio. May God bless you.
About.